Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Everyone got hired except me.
Do you see now why you didn't get hired?
No! Not at all!
My name is Joe and welcome to the Lightweights Podcast. Today's guest, Chelsea Green. Chelsea Green.
Chelsea Green!
Chelsea Green!
Chelsea Green!
Wait a minute! Oh, it's on the outside. Chelsea bringing the fight.
My ultimate match would be a loser leaves town match, me versus my husband.
Chelsea has made quite the impression in the WWE universe. We talk all about the ins and outs of being a WWE superstar, what's coming next for her, and we get a special look at her marriage with indie god Matt Cardona.
Go to Aloe and I just drank my little turmeric shot. When in LA. When in LA.
Chelsea breaks it all down. So if you like this podcast, please give this video a like. Leave a comment down below who else you want to see on. What's your top three most painful moves to receive?
Anything from Bianca.
And hit the subscribe button as I have an episode with Natalia out now and an episode with Maxine Dupree coming out next. Would you say you're a Karen outside the ring?
Oh, so with my character, my parents say that I am my character, but not in the Karen sense, in the theatrical sense, in the over-the-topness of who Chelsea Green is. But no, I'm not a Karen. I'm like way too afraid to complain about anything.
No manager talk at the Olive
Garden.
Oh,
no, I would sooner die than actually complain about something.
I just pictured you going around complaining like, I really need that 10% off because this experience was not the best.
No, but the funny thing is that like now everywhere I go, people do say that.
Yeah.
Like people are like, oh, did you complain? So I have now come up with like very quick-witted answers for it.
Yeah.
So even like this week I was in Saudi Arabia and one of my fans was like, oh, did you complain about this and that? And I'm like, oh, I complained about the hummus. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Honestly, things come out of my mouth and I don't know where they come from.
How was Saudi?
It was amazing. It was seriously eye-opening because going there, a lot of people, especially Americans and Canadians, were like, oh, be safe. Don't do this. Don't do that. They were so amazing and so welcoming. This shirt, actually, it's a Ronaldo jersey from because he plays for the Riyadh team. They gave this to me because I said I like soccer. They came back and had bought me a Ronaldo jersey. They're so sweet.
Did you perform there too?
No, I was there for 24 hours.
It was just an experience.
It was just to open up the WWE experience, which is essentially a massive, I don't even know what to call it, experience. There's a Hall of Fame. There's an area where you can turn into a WWE superstar and do your entrance. There's an area with an escape room. Like, I honestly, if I got started, this whole podcast would be about the WWE experience because it was like nothing I've ever experienced before.
Did you travel with anyone or you went by yourself?
No, it was me, Natalia, Jinder Mahal, and Braun Strowman.
Okay.
24 hours in Saudi Arabia.
You also used to be a stunt woman.
Yeah.
Still are?
So, I mean, I like to think I am. I like to think every Monday on Raw I'm doing stunts. And honestly, the shit that I'm doing, it kind of is stunts. Getting squished by Nia Jax and squished by Piper and tossed around by Becky Lynch. But I haven't done stunts on a set in maybe 5 years now.
And what were you doing it for? Like movies?
I was doing it for movies. I did a couple of TV shows on like CW TV shows. My claim to fame for stunts is stunt doubling for Winona Earp. So, you know, she was on the CW as a superhero. So that's like,
you're basically a superhero.
So I'm basically a superhero. I didn't want to say that, but now that you did.
Yeah. Wait.
That was cool.
So then what else did you do? Because you did motion capture for the WWE video games as well.
Yeah, which is so crazy and full circle. I really am not an emotional person. Like, that's my downfall. I should go to therapy for that. But I have these little moments in life where I'm like, oh my God, wait a second. Like 7 years ago, I was in California doing mocap for Carmella's entrance, Liv Morgan's entrance, Valhalla's entrance, and now I'm working alongside them. And someone else is doing my entrance. Like, someone else gets to go out and go, shh, How cool is that?
Did you have dreams of being in WWE at that time?
I did. I actually was really like down in the dumps because they had not hired me yet. And I thought that I should be hired. Should have been hired 3 years before that.
So when you get that call for it, did you think that was kind of a stepping stone into the company?
I did. Every time that someone gave me just like a little sliver of WWE, I thought that was it. I thought I'm going to be the next Nikki and Brie Bella, you know, like, but it never happened. It didn't happen for almost 10 years later. That's the crazy thing. But I think that's kind of what made my story unique.
Yeah.
Is that it took so long. So in that 10 years, oh.
Triple H himself. Pick it up.
You know who it is? It's Craig's because I'm going to dinner. I can't believe that. That is like rule number one of podcasting. To have
Wait, you have to
on.
Confirm that though.
No, I'm not going to because it's for my 6 o'clock reservation and I made two. I made one for nine. but I don't even know what I was saying.
The WWE, the game.
Yeah, I feel like this is what has made my story unique is that this whole journey has led me to do things that I would have never been able to do had I been in WWE in 2015.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't have been a stunt double. I wouldn't have gone to and worked with Kira or Taya Valkyrie on Lucha Underground. I mean, there's so many things. Honestly, the list goes on of things that I was handed because I was not in WWE yet.
Speaking of Nikki and Brie Bella, the Bella twins.
The most amazing twins in the world.
Was it kind of surreal? Because I know you loved Total Divas. So now you're going with Natalya to Saudi Arabia.
Talking about Total Divas.
The whole time. The whole flight.
Oh, are you kidding me?
She's trying to sleep.
No, I'm like, wait, one more question. In episode 7. No. I mean, it's funny because like, yes, it's a weird moment. But then on the other hand, my story isn't like Maxine's where she watched Total Divas and then became like I was already wrestling at that time. And the wrestling world is really, really small. Once you get into it, there's the indies and then you made it. There's like no in between. It's not like hockey where you start out and then you move up and you've got like farm teams and it's not like that. It's either you're slumming it or you're making it. And so even as an indie wrestler, I was dating Matt, who was friends with the Bellas and Natty and things like that. And I was being an extra and, you know, meeting people like Eva Marie. So our worlds kind of were always colliding anyways. But it's still cool to be able to like ask her the questions that I always wondered.
Yeah. What kind of slumming it was there in the indies for you?
Oh my gosh. Oh, okay. Well, my first match, I think I didn't even have knee pads on. I got paid $20. And
were you stoked on that? Like the fact that you were even getting paid?
It wasn't even that I was getting paid. It was the fact that I was like in the wrestling ring and people were cheering for me and the whole front row was my friends and family. I loved it. I loved it. And the best part about the indies is that when I was released from WWE the first time, they, you know, I got to go back and they like just welcome you with open arms like you never left. You have the same contacts. It's the same people. It's the same promoters and the same companies. And it's just like really fun and easy.
Yeah.
It's a very cool experience. It's a very, very like low key experience. That's a nice way to put it. Like, I mean, there are some times I wrestled in front of 7 people and maybe even 3 people. But like, that's what makes it so great when I get to walk out and people are cheering me at the Royal Rumble or WrestleMania where there's 80,000 people and I spot my dad in the crowd. Like, how cool is that, right?
Do you give him a wink when you see him?
I literally went like this. Dad! And that's the first time he's ever seen me wrestle.
At WrestleMania?
Yes.
Wow.
10 years.
He didn't want to see you in the indies?
I think he honestly was like, what the fuck is this? Whereas my mom was there day one in the crowd with a beer in her hand, like fully embracing it. And same with my grandma, actually. Both of them were very, very like, we know you can do this. My dad is like, when you do this, then I'll be there. Wow. No, they're so opposite. Couldn't be more opposite.
Was he at the Rumble 2023 in your shining moment?
Nobody was. Because you just don't, with the Rumble, you don't know when you're going to be in it.
Right.
You don't have a heads up, really. And also because I'm not really an emotional person, I'm not a sentimental person.
So no one needs to be there.
I don't need people to, I don't need that reassurance. Like, honestly, my girlfriends are like, oh, so you've got that show on Sunday. I'm like, yes, that show is kind of big, you guys. And if you want, you should probably tune in. But if you don't, whatever, we'll talk later. Like, I'm just, I don't know. I don't really care.
Yeah. How do you think the Royal Rumble 2023 went?
Well, it depends who you know, ask. Because if you asked a fan, they'd probably say terribly. But for me, I did my job. I did exactly what my character would do. I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff I've had to do in this career. You know, a lot of crazy, weird things, and this is just another one of them.
What amount of smack were you talking when you were going out into the ring?
I mean, originally, I was actually supposed to cut a promo all the way to the ring. So I was stressed because I'm like, oh my God, this is my moment, right? Like, if they're going to give me a microphone, this is my moment to prove that I can speak. I know I can speak, but what if I can't speak? I don't know. What? Then they decided, okay, we're actually not going to have you cut a promo, but we are going to have the camera pick up the sound. So still say your promo, walk all the way to the ring saying your promo, and the camera will hear it, but the crowd won't. I'm like, okay, a little less pressure, but not really, because there's still millions of people watching. And then everything got scrapped. And I was like, well, you know what? Screw it. I'm still talking all the way to the ring. And that's just who I am.
And the camera cuts to you and we hear you like, rah, rah, rah.
Yep.
Rah.
Yep.
But you're really far away.
Yep. Yes, I am. Like that, the entrance to the ring is like a mile flipping long. It's like, and I'm so out of breath by the time I get there.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Right.
But you know, that's what makes all of us unique.
And you had one of the most memorable moments.
Hey, they can't erase me from history.
They can't.
They cannot erase me from history. And this year, Valhalla almost beat my 5 seconds. And I was like, you bitch. Don't you dare take that away from me. Dang it.
Would you beat it next time if she did beat it?
Yeah. Are you kidding me? Absolutely. No, I'm a very competitive person. Like,
you throw yourself out.
Oh, I will literally catapult myself over.
You're considered one of Triple H's best signings.
Thank you.
How does that feel for you? Because the amount of work that it took for you to really make that happen, like, that was really you. Like, you put all that in.
Yeah, and I mean, the funny thing is like I haven't changed. This is who I've always been, but when I had my first couple years at WWE, they just, nobody saw that. So now everyone's like, oh my God, saying all these nice things, you know, but I'm like, I appreciate that. I appreciate the love. I appreciate the support. I appreciate people saying that about me. But at the end of the day, like, I've never changed.
Why do you think now people are paying attention?
I don't know. I don't know. And I don't even question it, because it's like WWE, wrestling really like ebbs and flows, right? We have times when we're so high and we're the champion and we're doing all the appearances and we are the star of the company. And then you have times where maybe you're not even being called in to Raw and you're sitting on your couch, and that's just how it is. So right now I'm on this high, and you know, if I really fed into being on this high, then I'd have to feed into being at my lowest, and I'm just not willing to do that. So I just stay at a constant, like, I'm good. Whether you give me a championship or not, whether, you know, I'm sitting on my couch or not, like, I'll just try to find the positive out of it, because I've been doing this 10 years. I'm not feeding into the BS of someone else telling me that I'm good enough or not good enough.
How hard was it keeping it a secret for your Rumble return?
Well, it wasn't hard, because they didn't tell me until like 2 days before.
2 days before.
Yes. Yes. So it was not hard at all. Because I didn't have time to tell anyone.
Did you even prep? Like, what?
No, no. And thank God I am a gear hoarder. I have so many new sets of gear waiting at all times. So I picked a set and I went to work. That's how simple it was. I mean, it's crazy.
How do you pick your gear for this year? This year's Rumble.
So this year's Rumble was a little bit different. I had a couple of options, but I narrowed it down to rainbow or plain white. And the thing about the Rumble is that every year there's always one color that people think is going to be really unique, and it ends up being like the color.
People as in the fans?
No, the wrestlers. So
This episode is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning platform available on desktop or as an app, and that it truly immersifies you in the language that you want to learn. Maybe you have an upcoming international trip or you want to connect with a family or a friend. I know a lot of people who want to learn a new language just to pick up a new hobby. I can personally attest to this as I used Rosetta Stone when I went to Italy for my honeymoon. It helped me brush up on the Italian that I learned back in school, and I was able to get through the land and speak the native language. It made it so much more fun, plus my wife loved it. They're the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish. There's no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. Plus, there's lifetime membership and access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off that language learning. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Lightweight's podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language learning courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. It's the Joe Guarantee. In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking we could pull one of the best autographs in the game, but guess what? With zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com. The only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. What I love is the display of the available cards, the hit rates, and the grading. Arena is a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, and with Arena Club Slab Packs, they're revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling. You can have them officially graded by Arena Club. The Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with a full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have to check out. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/lightweights. Wow, that's a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's $40 right there. Anyways, go to arenaclub.com/lightweights for 10% off your first purchase.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You end up, one year it was like five girls wearing white. This year it was a lot of girls wearing red. Last year it was a lot of girls wearing neon rainbow colors. So you just never know. So I like to be prepared now and have two sets, if not three. So going into it, I actually decided I'm going to send the locker room a text and we can all put our colors in, and that way we have an idea of, okay, if everyone's wearing blue this year, people can kind of like get other gear made. So when I heard that nobody was doing rainbow, I was like, okay, maybe I'll do rainbow. And then one of my coworkers, when I said rainbow, mentioned like, oh my gosh, you're such an ally for the community. And I'm like, oh, okay, I had a rainbow set. So once she said that, I was like, okay, wait a second. Because if this is what people are going to think going out there, then I really want people to know. I don't want people to just think that I'm wearing pride colors. Like, I want people to know. So then I went out and got a flag, and I made a skirt out of the pride flag, and I made it a moment. And I think, you know, making it a moment in Florida made it really a moment.
How important is that branding for people to know exactly what you're doing when you come out there?
For me, it's very important. Like, I don't want anything I do to be wishy-washy. I want people to know, this is why I did it. This is who I support. This, you know, like, I think just we're on this massive platform and we have to stand up for what we believe in. And for me, especially coming from Canada, where we're just a lot more loving and accepting of everything. Culture, race, gender identity, like everything. For me, living in Florida now, it's really, really, really important that I stick up for my friends and the things that I believe in.
Right.
you know, I think that should just be like what humans do, but they don't always.
You're now a citizen, so you can live here.
I'm now a green card holder.
How hard was that?
I mean, I probably have spent more money than I could even imagine. I've gone through 4 or 5 visas. I got married 2 years ago and I still didn't get my green card until like 2 weeks ago.
You don't get it right away?
No.
Even as a Canadian?
So people don't understand.
We love you guys.
I know. No, we don't get it right away. And you have to spend for a green card about $10,000. Yeah, it takes a lot of time, a lot of energy, and a lot of money.
Wow.
Yeah, and I had, you know, I've been in America for 7.5 years. And I have a husband that's American.
Could you have been married and gotten denied?
Yeah. Yes. But it probably wouldn't have happened. And it definitely wouldn't have happened to someone who does have like a job,
real relationship.
A real relationship. Exactly. I'm not a mail order bride.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Or am I?
We'll find out. How do you get into character before the shows?
I don't.
This is just you?
Yeah. I just let it happen. I think that's the thing. And maybe that's from acting classes.
Did you do those in Canada?
I've kind of done them my whole life, but I really dove deep into them around COVID. Like really started taking them religiously in Florida. Yeah, around COVID time. So for me, it's just like another side of me. But that's, I really enjoy character acting. I really enjoy over the top stuff or fully turning into a different human. And with my character, Laurel Van Ness on Impact, that was my first taste of character acting. And I realized that I could turn it on and off really, really easily. So now every other character I play is like a piece of cake. I love it. And you know, like when I show up at work, people always have an idea for me. They always have something in mind that I could do or I could say, and that makes my life so much easier. I don't really have to think about it.
What's the differences in wrestling from a 4-sided ring to a 6?
If you ask other people, they'd probably say there's a huge difference. But because my first taste at wrestling in front of a camera was in the 6-sided ring, it didn't seem that hard.
But even with the indies being 4?
It's different wrestling on camera. It's different wrestling on camera, and I can't explain how. Maybe the adrenaline is higher, there's more thought process that goes into it. We are working on the fly still, but it's not as much as on the indies. We don't call as much on the indies, and we're just kind of going with the flow at a slower pace. Whereas on TV, it's fast, fast, fast. You get to everything quick. There's a point, there's a story. You know, there's moments before we hit a commercial break, things like that. So to me, I really didn't see a crazy difference, but it was a little bit more painful to hit the ropes on a 6-sided ring than a 4. There's a little less
tighter.
A little less give. Yeah. And then also jumping off the top rope, it's wider. It's not like this.
Oh.
Yeah. So you have to be careful with that too. So little things like that. But you know, when you're in the ring and you have that much adrenaline, you just do it.
You said one of my favorite quotes. Turning crumbs into crumb cake.
That's my husband's quote.
Oh, I never heard that before.
Okay, that is my husband's favorite quote.
It's so good.
He says it all the time.
How do you think that applied to you into where you are in your career now?
Oh my God. Well, I mean, first of all, I think I've always done that my whole life, but I really think I've done it now being with Matt. Because I always felt like Matt in WWE turned crumbs into crumb cake, always. And then watching him do that on the independent scene and thrive has been an inspiration for me. It's like, why am I complaining? You know, like we live such a good life. Take whatever they give you and turn it into something amazing. Yeah. You can do that. Everyone has the power to do that, but you have to want to do that. The problem is like, we're in this weird world where a lot of us come together and bond over complaints. Like we love to complain to each other. And I just feel like we're not gonna get anywhere by complaining. So like, let's just take whatever we're given, even if it's 2 seconds on TV or 5 seconds in a rumble, and make it a moment. Because that 5 seconds, I could have been totally like annoyed over that. But why would I, when I knew I could come to the back and ask the digital team to do a segment on me that I knew people would repost? I can tweet about it. I can tell everyone that I made history and turn it into something funny. Like, there's just so much you can do with this job that we're given. So make crumb cake out of crumbs.
Have you always been that positive like that?
No. No, definitely not. But I think it took me, I was really negative in NXT when I first got hired with WWE. I really felt like I was given absolutely nothing. But if I had have had this mentality, maybe nothing would have turned into something. So I think it was really eye-opening when I was released, like, and I did go back onto the indies and I did make, you know, a lot out of nothing. Then the ball started, you know, rolling. And then I realized, gosh, you can get so much more out of being positive.
With that mindset now, looking back on NXT, do you think you could have twisted certain scenarios around and maybe gotten further in that moment?
100%. 100%. I mean, I really wasn't given that many opportunities to thrive, but still, the opportunities I was given, I could have made something out of them. I don't know how right now, but I absolutely could have, knowing what I know now on the main roster of WWE and the 3 minutes that I get in the ring, you know, that's been blown up to now, she's the best rehire by Triple H. Like, I only wrestle for 2 to 3 minutes. It's just what I do on my days off that make people think that. It's what I do with those 3 minutes.
What are your off days like? Are you constantly training?
I don't have off days.
Oh, you're always traveling.
I mean, no, that's dramatic, but we don't really have that many days off.
How so, though, if you're only performing the 1 day a week?
Yeah, that's funny that you say that, because that is, like, in theory, we only work on a Monday. But if we do live events, we do Saturday, Sunday, Monday, travel Tuesday. And then for me, I like to stay busy with a lot of media, a lot of traveling and doing things. Obviously, this month alone has been, I mean, I've been to like a million different places. I was in Saudi Arabia yesterday, LA today, Anaheim tomorrow. It's all over the place. But for me, my off days, because I don't have that many, and because Matt and I have different schedules, we like to do things, do fun things. We're going to go to Disneyland.
So this week?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so fun.
You know, because I'm exhausted on Tuesday, but I'm going to go spend Tuesday, Wednesday at Disney.
Have you been yet?
Many times. Oh, my husband and I, big Disney people.
Where do you try and stay in the park? What are your favorite rides?
Well, so it depends, because it depends if it's Disneyland or Disney World. Obviously, we're annual pass holders in Orlando.
I mean, World is just, it's so different.
It's so different. So for me, I like Disneyland better because I like the quaintness of it. Uh-huh. And Indiana Jones, hello.
You don't have them in Disney World?
No, Indiana Jones does not exist in Disney World, which is a travesty. And then your guys' Space Mountain is way better.
Okay.
Way better, like quicker, darker, just better.
Pirates?
Oh, I love Pirates.
Is ours better?
Yeah, definitely. And then, you know, you guys have the restaurant in there, Blue Bayou. We don't have that in Orlando.
I've never eaten in there.
I'm going. Actually, Maxine is going to go. We're going to do a little double date. Maxine, her mom, and Matt and I, we're going to go do 2 days. We're going to go to Blue Bayou and Pirates, and it's going to be fun.
Does she have Disney World too? Passes?
I don't think so. I think it's like a Matt and I thing.
Okay, so you have your husband in real life, and then you have your work wife.
Yes.
Maxine.
Yes, 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 yes.
What makes the relationship between the two of you work wives?
Well, first of all, we totally have the same like mentality, schedule, lifestyle, like all
wake up, early workout.
Yes. Which is really rare to find, because all my other girlfriends, like my best friend Deanna, she works for AEW now. She goes to sleep really late. She wakes up really late. I can't. I just cannot. We have totally different schedules. She's pretty good at like going with the flow with me. But Sydney is like a, let's go to sleep as early as possible.
We got to get to Aloe. 9 yes, a.m.
Exactly. And she eats healthy with me. And she, like, all the things we just mesh on. And actually, and I've told my husband this, so this isn't even like, it's not going to surprise him. I prefer traveling with Maxine over my husband.
Why?
Because we align way more than my husband and I do. Like, way more. And also, I really, really hate the fact that Matt and I get on a plane and I have to sit in the middle seat. I hate that.
With Maxine, where do you sit?
Well, it depends. Whoever, you know, we just are like, do you want to, or do you, like, we'll switch.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, we're friends.
With him being a big guy, you think he'd sit in the middle?
He always wants to sit on the window.
He wants to sit in the tight little area?
I know, honestly, I can't.
How big is he?
Huge. Huge. And I have to sit there like a little squished sardine right in the middle. It's awful.
Wrestling at WrestleMania just 2 months after your return, 80,000 people. Did you feel, I don't want to set it up for you, but what did you feel?
I mean, again, because I'm not like an emotional or sentimental person, I did not have like tears or anything like that. And I actually didn't get as nervous as I thought. But then once I walked out there and I was walking down the ramp, I was like, holy shit. Like, this is a lot of people. This is a lot of people. And because I'm not American, so like all my family and friends aren't there, it's just a matter of like, oh my God, all my friends are sitting watching this at home, like having a viewing party, and they're going to see how many people are here to watch me. Like, how crazy is this? Yeah, but I think a lot of wrestlers would say this. It actually is easier in front of more people. There's something about a small crowd, an intimate crowd, that's really nerve-wracking. And there's something about your peers watching you that's really nerve-wracking. Wrestling in front of wrestlers is terrible. Way worse than WrestleMania.
Because you're being criticized.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like the pressure is so much higher. Like, I'm just there to entertain.
Was there anyone at WrestleMania that you knew was watching? You're like, ah, shit.
No, but every now and then I have a moment like, I wonder if my ex-boyfriend's watching. I wonder if my ex-coworker who laughed at me for being a wrestler is watching. I wonder, you know what I mean? Like,
they're definitely watching.
Like, little moments like that.
They see clips.
Like, I hope they do.
Yeah.
I totally hope they do. I mean, and you know, you think about people from high school, like, oh, I wonder who knows that I do this for a living.
Who's some of your favorite Canadian wrestlers?
I mean, Trish.
Stratus?
Yeah. Trish is my all-time fave.
Did you watch her growing up?
I did. I loved her growing up. My sister was a little better at like staying into what was happening with Raw. But so she has more memories of storylines, but I love Trish. And then Lance Storm trained me.
Crazy.
So Lance Storm is obviously like number one Canadian. And then Gail Kim. I love Gail Kim.
Where did you meet Lance Storm's wrestling?
So it's kind of a strange story. I was going to school in Calgary for kinesiology, and I was doing...
What's that?
It's like the study of the way the body moves.
Oh, I thought you were reading people's minds.
That's...
Telekinesiology.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty close, actually. And I kind of do read people's minds. So. So I was doing homework, and on the TV came wrestling. And I'm like, huh, I wonder like how people do that. Like, how do they get into that? And I Googled how to be a WWE diva, and his school was like a mile away.
Crazy.
And I'm like, this is a sign. I'm meant to be a diva. I should not be in school. I am meant to be a WWE diva.
How old were you at this time?
24, 25.
Okay.
Is that right? Yeah, 24. Because I'm going to turn 33, so maybe 23. I emailed him and I was like, can I come see the school and like talk to you? And next thing you know, I was in class.
What does that look like? What's a wrestling class like?
So for other schools, it's different, but I truly believe that Lance Storm's and Flatbacks in Orlando, which is run by Sean Spears and Tyler Breeze, they have the best curriculums. Because I do think learning how to wrestle, you need like a curriculum. It sounds so silly, but I don't think you can be thrown in and just try to do stuff, especially if you're like me, where you didn't necessarily grow up knowing like what a chin lock was or a clover leaf or whatever. So with Lance's and Flatbacks, you go in, you have, you know, 3 months of training. You're there Monday to Friday. You're there for 4 hours a day minimum, and you are starting from the very beginning. The first day, you learn lockups.
Are you in a classroom or are you in the ring the whole time?
So you're in the ring the whole time, and it is literally just a warehouse with a ring and some seats and pads around it, and you just start. You just get in and you start, you know, doing your roles and learning the basics, and then you build from there every single day.
How many students?
Usually about 12.
How many are girls?
Usually one or two. I know that Lance always tried to get two. If one signed up, he would try to find another one, because at the end of the day, we are mostly wrestling our own gender. And I know from experience, wrestling men is a lot easier than wrestling women. We just work differently. Our mechanics are different. We are usually not as strong as a man. So a move done on a man or me hitting a man is not going to feel the same as me hitting a woman.
Right.
It's going to hurt a little more for a woman. I may not be able to do as much flippy things on a woman as I could a man who can base me. Like, you know, and that obviously changes because we've got people like Rhea Ripley who can literally do anything. Superhumans. And I mean, Taya Valkyrie can do anything. But if Maxine and I get in the ring, there are going to be limitations, and we have to be cognizant of that. So training with those limitations kind of allows you to be smart in the long run.
Did you ever get revenge on Rhea?
No, but I will. And it will be when it matters most.
Calculated.
Calculated, and also when someone lets me.
What's it like working with Piper Niven?
Amazing. I love her. And we go way back. We lived in Japan together.
Really?
Yeah. We lived in Japan in 2016, I believe. We worked for Stardom. She is so knowledgeable. Like, she taught me so, so much in Japan. And so although people think that we were just thrown together in WWE, we do have a friendship. And we've stayed in touch since then. So it was easy to then travel on the road with her and be open and honest with each other and come up with stuff to do. It was easier than, I mean, it's still hard because you're still thrown together in a tag team and you have to go out there and act as if you should have been this tag team all along. But we had a friendship at least. And that's the basis of a good tag team.
What is your text with her like? Are you guys sending each other move ideas of what to do together?
No, honestly, not at all. It's only like animal photos and like, yeah, yeah.
Animal morphs, yeah, of a penguin and a bear.
One thing that I love about her, and I also loved about being paired with Sonya, is I do shut off on my off days. I, like, to me, that gives me, that keeps my mental health on a good level. I need to, the minute that I land in Orlando, wrestling off, like fun Chelsea on. Because otherwise you go crazy. You need a balance.
Yeah.
You know, we're on the road so much. And although we only maybe work on TV one day, like sometimes, I mean, in February alone, I'm probably working 17 to 25 days of the month. That's a lot of time that you're turned on. And you're turned on, like today I've been turned on since 5:30 in the morning. And we're at like noon.
Is this the end of your day after this?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just you need to have that balance. You really need to have that balance. I think it's really, really important. And I have that balance at home with Matt, and I have it with my tag partners. I kind of set the precedence, and I think they do too.
Can you speak Japanese?
Not well. I can count in Japanese, and then when I'm
one,
there,
1, 2, 3.
I can count to 10 in Japanese. And there's certain sayings that you say in Japan, mostly as a way to show respect to your opponent or your elders and things like that. So things like that I can say, but because I was only there for 3 months and then left and then only went back for a couple weeks at a time, I didn't get very good at it.
Were you excited to go work in Japan?
Yes, very. Because for me, when I first started wrestling, it was, I was just a pretty girl that wanted to be a wrestler. There was not a lot that people didn't really believe in me. So for me, adding to my resume was a way of telling people to go F themselves. Like, now I'm becoming undeniable. You can't say that I didn't put the work in. I went to Mexico. I went to Japan. You know, I traveled all over the world. I crossed the border and wrestled in America. Like, I did all the things that I needed to do for you to say that I'm worthy of these opportunities.
Did you have that mindset right from the beginning?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you kind of knew, like, you had to do all of this.
I quickly learned. I didn't feel that way training with Lance, but he was good. He did kind of, like, shake a sense of reality into me.
In terms of what you had to do to get to where you wanted to
be? Yes. Yeah, a little bit. But I really learned, like, my first day on the Indies. Like, okay. My looks are actually going to go against me. They're not going to help me until I get to WWE or until I get to Impact or until I get on TV. For right now on the Indies, they're actually going to hinder me. So I need to prove. I need to work twice as hard. But that's fine, because then by the time that I did get on TV, like, I didn't care. I was like, yes, I wear makeup, and I went to Japan, and I was on Tough Enough, and I went to Mexico. What? And I broke my nose 4 times. Like, what else? It's great. I love it.
Where'd you finish off in Tough Enough?
Oh my, I did terribly.
Didn't you come in fourth?
Yeah, but like, fourth out of the girls. There was so, everyone got hired except me.
Do you see now why you didn't get hired?
No! Not at all! I was the only wrestler. I was the only person in Tough Enough that wanted that so badly that she went on to the Indies and she worked and then went to Tough Enough. So no, I do not understand. However, I am thankful. Okay? In hindsight, I am thankful. But, it was awful. It was awful. And I'll never forget. And I actually just told... I've told Sonia this, and I just told Mandy, I think, this.
Sex.
Yes. But I will never forget, I was sitting in bed, Matt was at Raw, and he called me from Raw, and he was like, I have some news for you, and I don't think you're going to be happy. And I'm like, what? He was like, I just want you to know that Mandy and Sonia are debuting tonight. And I was like, like, because I was so happy for them, and I always supported them. I thought that they deserved to be there. I loved them, everything. But, like, seeing the people who are literally in the same spot as you being, like, having a rocket strapped to them and being sent to the moon, and you're still on Earth, like, what? Hello, down here. What the hell? You know what I mean? Like, and I had to watch on TV my friends go and do my dream job. That was hard. And I had to watch that over and over again with people from Tough Enough.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again. Hit different milestones that I was not hitting.
Were you watching Tough Enough back?
No. No.
You didn't want to?
No. Never. What's the point?
Do you watch your matches back?
No.
Really?
Which is not a good thing, just so you know. Yeah. You should watch your matches back.
Not even to see how you could have done something different?
No, that's why I should.
Oh.
Yeah. It's absolutely why I should. I don't, because... For me, the moves aren't what make me me. My personality is, my character is, the ridiculous facial expressions are, and I don't want to second guess that. And I don't want to overthink it. Those things just come naturally to me. I don't want to watch myself and be like, why did I make that face? Because that face might have got me a meme or a gif or my job. So why even second guess it? But let me tell you, like, you know, social media exists. Hello, I see things. And when I do something that's bad, I'll only do it twice and then I will never do it again. If I see 2 bad clips of the same move, I'm like, oh girl, nope. Do not try that again.
How long is the furthest you ever drove for an indie show?
14 hours.
Where?
14 hours. Me and Dexter Loomis, he's Dexter Loomis in WWE, but Sam Shaw. We drove to Tennessee.
From where?
From Florida. Twice. Hawaii. Twice. From Hawaii. We actually sailed the 7 seas. No, we drove, yeah, I think, actually there might have been further, because I did drive to, see, now this is where you're going to realize that I'm very Canadian, because I don't know geography. We drove from Florida to North Carolina too. So what's further, Tennessee or North Carolina? I don't know. Probably about, it was probably a similar amount.
Yeah.
Anywhere between 12 and 16 hours I've drove. That, and that's multiple times.
How many people are in the crowd?
For Tennessee, like a really good amount. Tennessee shows are awesome because there's not that many promotions. For North Carolina, not a lot. Not a lot. But those were fun shows because they were all girls' shows. And so you got to hang out with the girls. You got to like have funny matches that now, you know, a lot of those girls are in the locker room with me at WWE. We get to talk about them and see old pictures and stuff. I had some really fun moments with Mia Yim from WWE. Some really fun moments on the indies.
What's your top three most painful moves to receive?
The Tahana Bomb. Tahana Bomb, I think it's called, from Raquel. That's a scary one because you're up really high. Anything from Bianca. And the funny thing is that the most painful stuff is they're the things that you don't really expect. Like there, I took like a hit to the face from Caden like a month ago that then like it felt fine in the moment. And then the next day I was like, oh my God, like I couldn't really eat on the left side. Like you just never know. It's silly things like that because we're moving, right? And when we trust each other, like Caden and I have good chemistry together. And so we trust each other. So we hit each other harder. So it's like funny things that don't look like they hurt that actually hurt the most.
Right.
It's not really the cool moves that hurt the most. Well, sometimes my drop kick hurts me.
It hurts you?
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Do you have a dream opponent on roster or not?
Okay. I guess I would love a singles with Rhea because I really loved working her in NXT. We did a couple of road loops together, or maybe just one road loop. Well, I had a lot of fun with her. But I mean, my ultimate match would be a triple threat. Me versus my husband versus the Undertaker. No. A loser leaves town match. Me versus my husband. I would say a triple threat versus Trish and Natty.
Ooh.
All Canadian, and it has to be in Canada. Has to be in Canada.
When's the last big event that happened in Canada?
So we did a SmackDown in Vancouver. Not that long ago. So for me, that was big. We did that in January.
Is your roar louder there?
That was my WrestleMania. That was a sentimental moment for me. Like, to me, having all my friends in the crowd, having my girlfriend's baby there, having my parents there, that was the ultimate. And the way that they cheered me and then the way that they booed me when I cut the promo was amazing. I loved it. But we do have, what do we have? I think Money in the Bank.
Coming up?
Mm-hmm. In Toronto.
Were you always invested in American pop culture?
Yes. Yes, I was. But not wrestling. Although I was going to school for kinesiology, I thought maybe I would become like an on-air host.
In Canada or?
Well, I think everyone in Canada, I don't want to speak for everyone, but I think all of us like kind of want to live the American dream. Even if we want to do it in Canada, like we still want to do it the American way, you know, like Canadians think the American lifestyle is so glamorous. Like you guys have everything here. Everything that's cool is in America. We have some of it.
Hockey.
Like, yeah, we have like 75% of it, but like we don't have as many opportunities. So I always wanted to do on-air hosting or like kind of extra or Entertainment Tonight or E! Or something like that. And I knew I would want to be on camera somehow. I wasn't sure. And now I realize that it is acting that I love. It's not necessarily talking. It's acting.
Getting into that character.
Yes. Whereas I thought it was the speaking aspect of it, but no. I like being a character.
Can we ever see you in movies? Like, would you ever want that?
Yeah, I actually just filmed a Christmas movie that's going to come out this year.
Whoa.
I know.
Where at?
So we filmed it in Ontario. We filmed it in November, and then it should come out. It might come out this Christmas. No, it might come out this summer, Christmas in July, or it might come out for Christmas. It's called A Bluegrass Christmas. I was a country singer.
Ooh.
I don't sing, though. Thank God.
They use someone else sing?
Yeah, nobody needs to hear me sing. I'm telling you, nobody. Not good. But that is the goal. The goal is definitely to lean more into the acting side of things.
What did your textbooks in Canada look like? Here we learn about like the American Revolution and all that stuff.
Yeah, so that's funny that you asked that, because in Canada we learn about the world. It's not Canada. So we do snippets of Canada, but we learn about everything from like, you know, the Chinese dynasties to American history, like everything. But we learn, yeah, about the world, and you guys only learn about America. And
we
it
only
shows.
Learn about ourselves.
And it shows.
When you were traveling around in the Indies, what do you think the most important lesson you learned was?
Gosh, I mean, first of all, the one thing that I've just learned in general from finally getting to WWE is that the journey is what actually is important. It's not the destination. You know, we all need to set goals, of course. I think goal setting and manifesting and, you know, positive thinking is all necessary. But the journey to get there is not something to be overlooked. Like, that is what that's what's going to make you unique when you get to your goal, when you hit your goal. But actually traveling on the Indies, like realistically, is I've learned a lot about safety. I've learned a lot about traveling and staying healthy and ways to do that, whether you're in Saudi Arabia, Germany, what all those things. But as a female on the road, like you just really, really need to stay safe.
Did you try and always have a partner to travel with?
No, but it always ended up that happened somehow, because I am very much a girl's girl. Like, I like my friends. I had 12 bridesmaids.
What were some of your highlights from your wedding?
Oh my, well, it was New Year's Eve. So I basically, after I said I do, had a martini in my hand until 3 a.m. It was amazing. Honestly, it was amazing. Matt and I both had the same idea going into it. This was not going to be a wedding. This was going to be a New Year's Eve party that just happened to have a wedding before it. And we wanted the wedding to be very quick and very untraditional and non-formal. And it was. And everyone had a great time. We had like giant like smoke guns that we sprayed at everyone. We had confetti come down. It was so much fun. And like the guest list was fun, because it was in that kind of weird post-pandemic time where if you didn't want to travel, you had an excuse. You didn't have to. But the people who wanted to be there were there. And they were there for 4 days of partying.
How did he propose?
He proposed on a rooftop in New York City on my birthday.
Did you know it was coming?
Well, not that day. No, because I would have worn a different outfit. I wore a see-through bodysuit, and this is going to be a hard thing to tell my kids when I show them pictures. Like, why is mom wearing high heels and a see-through bodysuit? So I did not know it was coming that day, but I knew it was coming. We talked about it all the time.
Were you like...
I picked the ring out.
Oh, Matt.
Oh, no, I fully picked the ring out. I looked at his location. I saw he was in Tampa one day, and I said, where are you and what are you doing and why are you being sketchy?
What was his excuse?
Oh, he's such a boy. He said he was in Jacksonville. That's his first lie. I'm like, buddy, I have your location. You're in Tampa. He was like, And then he's a bad liar. He's a very bad liar. So he had to tell me basically immediately.
That he was getting the ring?
Yeah, well, so I made him come home and then pick me up and take me so I could go get it.
That's so funny.
I said to him, he was like, nobody does that. I'm like, I promise you, like, it's... Yes, they do. Girls need to like their ring.
Did you see what he was leaning towards?
Well, once I picked it out, he did say like, oh, wow, I would have never. I would have never picked that out. And I had sent him pictures. But then when I got there, the jeweler was like, because I have really long ET fingers. He was like, I don't think you're going to like that on your fingers. And I'm like, I put it on and my fingers looked like so long. Like, what's that? Slender Man fingers? And so I ended up going with something totally different that I didn't even show Matt. So he couldn't have known. He couldn't have even got close to that.
So it was the timeline. You guys got the ring. How long did he wait? Was he trying to throw you off?
Yeah.
I think the guy's perspective is so hard.
I know. Poor men.
Because we can really only do wrong. We can't
and
get right.
women, actually, but yes, yes, exactly. Like, he was really smart. He put it in an Undertaker toy coffin.
And hid it in there? Mm-hmm. Oh, I hid mine in my pants drawer.
See, I would have found that.
Yeah, I'm surprised
I was looking everywhere.
You're so funny.
Oh, I can't be surprised. Nobody can surprise me. No.
But did you know the ring was there?
No, I didn't know the ring was there, and I didn't know the ring was in town with us in New York City for WrestleMania. So that's why I didn't really think. He kind of was like, oh, I'm tired, but we should still go out for your birthday. And I'm like, oh, okay, I would rather sleep, but okay. So we went out, and we were like trying to get through dinner. I didn't realize, I thought he was tired. I didn't realize he was nervous. So when he's not eating, I'm thinking like, damn, he's really tired. He's not eating his lobster. He must be very tired. But he was nervous and I was tired. And so I wasn't even thinking. But as we went up, so he told me we were going to like a speakeasy kind of thing, like a rooftop speakeasy. And so we went into some weird office building and then through offices. And right as we were about to go out the door, I'm like, I see what this is. Like, I totally was like, okay, here we go. Let's go. Turn the cameras on.
Did he have a speech?
Yeah, but he's a man of few words. So that's why I made him do vows, because his proposal was very much like, I love you. I want to be with you for the rest of my life. Will you marry me? And I was like, what? That's it? Say something else. Say something nicer.
Aren't I great?
Yes. So I made him write vows. And oh my God, when I tell you, he was like the biggest ham ever. His vows were like a 20-minute speech. And then I felt really stupid. I'm like, oh, I wish I didn't make him do that, because mine were not good.
Oh, you didn't show somebody else your vows to make sure they were like kind of aligned?
No. When I tell you, it was like, we did not put thought into like the wedding like that. Like, I was just ready to party. I was just ready to hang out with all my friends and family after not seeing them all pandemic.
Right.
And being landlocked because of my green card. So I was not really thinking about the wedding.
What's the story of Matt taking your belt?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so he came and watched me win the title in Atlanta. And I guess after I won the title, he immediately went online and bought the replica. Bought the replica, got it overnighted by WWE Shop or Fanatics, and had it like 2 days later to go to Japan with. He didn't ask me. He didn't tell me. I saw him with it in Japan.
He just did it all on his own.
Yes, and everyone thought, because it was on, he was in Japan on my days off, everyone thought that it was the real belt.
So everyone thought he took yours.
Yes. Yes. And I was just waiting for someone at work to call me and ask. Like, thank God they did not believe it. But I was worried. I was worried. I'm not going to lie, because he does stuff like that. Like, he does crazy things. He makes videos out of all my wrestling stuff. Like, I am the butt of all his jokes. So, like, I really thought the WWE was going to get mad at me. And I was going to have to prove, like, here I am. This is the belt. He's got a different one.
Do you guys have a ring at your house?
No. Not yet.
You should get one.
Yeah, we're building a house right now. So we've got, we bought an acre and a half to put the house on. So we definitely have space now. So I'm sure Matt will try. I'm sure he will.
Do you guys ever train together?
Never. Never. We trained twice. One time I cried, which I don't cry. One time I cried.
Why?
He's so intense and he is so painful to work with. One time, after the second time of training with him, he ran his comeback on me and I thought I was going to die. I literally had to roll out of the ring halfway through. And then I tweeted, this is how I feel after wrestling Matt. And it was a person in a full body cast like this. When I tell you the amount of wrestlers that commented, like,
same,
yep,
same,
yep,
same.
It was shocking. So Matt learned that day, like, oh, okay, this is the type of wrestler I am. He didn't know that.
I have a Z4, mm-hmm. and for years, people tell me that car is so tiny. Mm-hmm. I'm in the driver's seat, so I'm like, this is roomy. What are you talking about? Yesterday, I got in the passenger seat for the first time.
And you felt it?
It's so small.
Yeah.
You're like in a box.
It's funny, right? Like, what you just don't know. You just don't know what you don't know.
You don't. So, you spoke about kids before?
Yeah.
You and Matt considering expanding the family?
So, we had planned to start having kids in September of 2022, and I got hired October 2022. We were going on a trip to Italy, and we're like, you know what? For our friend's wedding, this would be the perfect time. Like, we're in a great place. He's thriving on the indies. I'm doing well on the indies, but it's not like a salary that I can't cut from our life. You know what I mean? It's not anything crazy that I'm making, and I'm kind of just doing it to get back to WWE, and nobody's really calling me. So let's like kind of start thinking about having a baby. And then it was like right before we went to Italy that I talked to Triple H and he asked me to come back. So now we've put a pause on it because I want to ride this out. You know, like I want to ride out. I would hate to have a baby and be sitting with my newborn on the couch watching Matt do something that I knew I could have done. Like, I want to make sure that I do the things that the opportunities that I'm given, I do them, I take them, I do them as best I can, and then I'll have no regrets. But that could be in 6 months, that could be in 2 years, who knows? But I mean, I'm almost 33, so let's go. It's happening.
Were there any legends that you really looked up to for their lifestyle and just if they had a memoir that you were like, oh, I really envy the way that they approach this?
Okay, so legends, no, because I think that was a time period where like lifestyles were very unhealthy. It's so different now. You know, lifestyles then were, they were on the road 24/7, they were partying, they were like being wild, like really living that 90s rock star lifestyle. It's not like that anymore. You know, now we're all so health conscious. We treat our bodies so well. It's different.
We drink our matchas, we go to Aloe.
Right. We go to Aloe and I just drank my little turmeric shot. When in LA. When in LA. But I really think the Bellas, isn't that so true?
We're going to Laser Way later.
Literally that is so LA. I think
spilled.
I think the Bellas have it right. Like, I think they have a great work-life balance. They, you know, they take time for their love life. They take time for their family, but they still work all the time. They still are bosses. They still make a ton of money. That's like the life that every female wants to live, right? Like, you want to have kids, but you still want to have income and something that makes you feel like you're needed and not just kids. Job, a business, whatever it is. I think they're doing it right. The Bellas are killing it on all facets.
Did you watch all of Total Divas every season?
And Total Bellas.
What other reality? Are you watching Bachelor?
Oh, everything. Okay, this season of The Bachelor, no, but I'm kind of like keeping up to date through Twitter because I have it all DVR'd, but I haven't been home. But Vanderpump, Real Housewives.
I had Katie Maloney over here once.
Oh, I love Katie Maloney. You know, her brother works with us.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Her brother's my coworker.
Raw coming up this week. Is there anything planned in the works?
Well, we have Last Chance Battle Royal. So that is any female that wants to try to qualify for Elimination Chamber, which is in Perth. So.
Australia.
Perth, Australia.
They haven't been there. WWE hasn't been there in so long.
Years. So that's going to be huge. It's going to be massive, and whoever qualifies on Monday will be getting on a plane on Tuesday.
Do you want to go?
I want to go so bad. I lived in Australia. Perth is very far away from where I lived. I lived on the Gold Coast and in Sydney. But it would be so much fun. It would be so much fun. But my hope is that if it is not me, I would love for it to be Indy Hartwell, because that's the motherland for her.
Send her back home.
Yeah, go back home and perform in front of your friends and family, because knowing what it felt like for me to perform in Vancouver, I mean, I hope everyone gets to experience that.
Chelsea, thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
Everything Chelsea's going to be linked down below. Go check her out.
Thank you for not making me say my social media handles, because I don't know them.
What's the deal with your intro? Did you come up with it?
For my podcast, that one, or for like Chelsea Green? Okay.
That one.
Okay. I did not come up with it. Sam came up with it on her own. She is the most amazing ring announcer in the entire world.
I had such a debate if I wanted to say it right at the beginning.
Well, I hope you do. Not with me around. But please do, because it's very fun to say. It's like, honestly, it gives me a little pep in my step every time she says it.
Chelsea, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Bye, wait. Out. Cool.
That was great.
Thank you so much.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.